talking about answered prayer, and it's kind of really not answered. I mean, it is about unanswered prayer, but it's just us walking. But it does have to do with prayer. And we'll start off on James chapter 1, verse 6. James chapter 1, verse 6. And there's a lot of things we can say, and I got some examples tonight, but there's, I think sometimes people will come back and they'll say things like, well, I pray, but I haven't got my prayers answered, right? Well, Brother Hagin is the master, Kenneth Hagin is the master about talking about prayer being answered, but there's also another portion of prayer and other things too. I like to say we do a Barney Fife, you know, those of you who watch, he has one bullet, and he always has to ask Andy, you know, in the can he put his bullet in now? And, you know, he's always pulling it out and shooting himself, and, you know. And so, you know, sometimes we kind of shoot ourselves in the foot when it comes to faith. And then what happens is we say that, well, God isn't hearing me. God isn't answering my prayer. And sometimes there's other things going on other than just those. You see what I'm saying? It's not just about, well, I confessed this, I did this, I read this, I said this. I'm sorry, but sometimes there's more to the story. You know, those of you old folks like me in here, you know, Paul Harvey, the rest of the story, right? And so sometimes there's just a little bit more involved than just making these blanket statements. And again, we look at some things, and you'll see things, all these faith preachers and things like that. And I believe in faith, and I am one of those faith preachers. But the whole thing is, if we don't take the Word of God as a whole counsel, we're going to miss some things, aren't we? And so we got to look at some things and like, okay, what is God telling me to do in the process? And so we look at James chapter 1, verse 6, and it says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything but the Lord. Here we go. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So first of all, if you are unstable, it will cause issues in your life, won't it? Right? If you're believing God for an answer one day, and then the next day, it's never going to happen, everything's awful terrible, you're back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and prayer just won't get answered. Look at Luke chapter 11 real quick too. And again, I touched base on this a little bit last week. Luke chapter 11, but sometimes talking about 17. Let's look at 11:17. And it says, every kingdom, here we go, divided against itself is brought to desolation. Here we go. And a house divided against the house, so what? Falls. Let me read that again. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. Well, let me say this too. You know, this scripture in James chapter 1, verse 6, it talks about an individual who is unstable. Can I say this for your consideration too? What about a household that is unstable? You don't like me now. I'm going to kick some tires now, aren't I? What about a business that's unstable? Hello? See, we think of just an individual, but let me just say this sometimes we are not in agreement and our house is divided and we're going to fall. Well, God just isn't answering prayer. Well, maybe you're not on the same page, right? Now, I'm not doing this to be mean tonight, but I'm doing it to help us, because if we're not on the same page, we're not going to go the same direction. That's just like parents who, you know, luckily when I grew up, one good thing was it was always like I'd ask one and they say, what'd your mom say? What'd your dad say? They're always on the same page. Because if you're divided, again, you're not going to go anywhere. Well, I just can't figure out why the kids are turning out the way they are. Well, you're saying one thing, and your spouse is maybe saying another thing, right? So there's instability within the home. We are going to and fro. We're not consistent on anything, are we? So if we are not, we can't settle on something, right? Can you imagine it? Can you imagine a corporation that they can't get on anything? I mean, those of you who study leadership or anything with, you know, executives or you know, any kind of corporation, any kind of leadership, when if you've got leaders that are in a board meeting, they come out and they say, yep, we're going to do this. This plan is great. And then you've got half of them going over going, this is a terrible idea. Going to the workers. It's just never going to work, right? What do you think? Do you think they're going to accomplish that task? Absolutely not. Why? Because they're unstable. They are. That's one of the keys. Any kind of leadership is you've got to be sold on it and present it to your people. It is the best thing since peanut butter. And so in a corporation, in a corporate setting, in a business, anything that you, even a family or anything else, if there is instability, you are going nowhere. Bing. Right? Hello? You're not going anywhere. And it's instability that's tossed to and fro is just not for an individual, but it is for a family, it is for a corporation, it is any kind of entity. Can you imagine it? Can you imagine our sending our troops over, and then you've got the generals and the majors and everybody else fighting against each other? And it, how about sports? Can you imagine being in a sports? I mean, the people who the teams have made it to the Super Bowl, they are what? In one mind and one accord, right? They don't go out there and go, well, I'm going to do quarterback. No, I'm going to do quarterback. I'm going to be the center. I'm going to be this. They are one mind, one accord, one vision, and they're moving forward. And they accomplish those things together. Unfortunately, my team is dysfunctional, so they're a team divided, right? Right? They can't decide on whether they want to keep their coach and their quarterbacks. Now they're getting rid of them. I mean, it's just like complete, absolute dysfunction. And what? They're losing games left and right. So everything that we see, if you are not together, if you're not on the same page, you're not going to go anywhere. Get in your car, and then your engine decides it wants to be a transmission, and your transmission wants to be a wheel. You're not getting out of the parking lot today, are you? So again, this isn't any kind of new revelation, but the point is this: if we are not on one, if our house is divided, we're not going anywhere. And we can pray all day long and plead and, oh, God, please. But there's natural things that we need to get on the same page together if we're going to believe for something, right? For example, I mean, just let's say you're praying for a house and your spouse doesn't want to move. Guess what? You're going to have issues, aren't you? Hello? Right? It's just the way it is. So it doesn't matter. Again, you can pray until you're blue in the face, but if your house is divided, you're not going to see the results you want. Hello? So again, look at Jeremiah 29:11. So we've got to be anybody who's unstable. Unstable means you are flip-flopping back and forth. If your house is divided, you are not in one mind and one accord, you're going to have problems. Can you imagine an army going out again, arguing on the battlefield before they get to the enemy? If they are not one mind, one accord, they are going to lose. Perfect example is what? The Revolutionary War, right? The British should have walked up and down us like crazy. But guess what? We had a one mind, one accord together. Our house was not divided. Why? Because we wanted freedom. And I believe God was intervening on some things. So the point is that, you know, once we get Tower of Babel, what was that? God was concerned about what? They are one mind and one accord. And what does it say in Genesis? Whatever they put their mind and hand to, they will accomplish. Jeremiah 29:11. All right, let me turn there. I'm sorry. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Now, some translations say future and hope. Now, the reason I say this is, number one, So the first step is we need to decide what we want, focus on it. Like a pit bull on a stake, we need to hang on to it. We cannot be divided. We cannot be wishy-washy. We've got to set our faith to something. All right? And all those parties that are involved, because sometimes, you know, like for example, I don't need everybody to be in agreement with me to be healed because it's my body and I have authority over my own body, right? I'd love for you to pray. Yeah, that'd be great. But guess what? I can go to God for myself. It's my body. It's temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm a steward over it, so I can receive healing for myself, right? But there are some things in life we just need other people to connect with too, because we're involved together, right? Especially if you have households, you have kids, you have another spouse, you guys need to be on the same page, right? And seek God's will for whatever it is. Well, the second is we need to get into the scriptures and find out specifically what belongs to us. We've got people that are praying for crazy stuff out there. I've been in situations before and you know, people are just praying for all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, oh, I want this person's spouse. And I'm like, I mean, there's not even nothing biblical about that. That's completely wrong. So we need to find out. And also, too, it's very important, like we just read in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, he knows the thoughts for us. What? Which are what? Good? Let's read it again. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. I want to put sickness on you and disease, and I want to teach you a lesson. No. It says here, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil. And where we go? To give you an expected, or a future and a hope. So this is God's attitude towards us, isn't it? It is about love. It's about, where we see in the New Testament, it says that God is love, right? So when we find the scripture, we can find out what God's will is. We know that we can also apply our faith to that when we do pray, because we know it's God's will, right? Well, is it God's will to heal? It absolutely is, according to Acts chapter 10, verse 38, whom God anointed, Jesus of Nazareth, who went about good, doing, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, right? So we know that sickness and disease is an oppression from the devil, and Jesus, who was anointed by the Holy Spirit, went about and healed all that were oppressed of the devil, right? So we know that, without a shadow of doubt, when we get in the scriptures, it's God's will to heal. He is not out doing these things to us purposely. I mean, people are sitting around thinking, well, you know, I don't know if it's God's will for me to heal. Well, find out whether it's God's will or not with whatever you're believing for. I wish, brothers, that you'd prosper and be in health. What? Even as your soul prospers. So we know it's God's will for you to prosper, right? If it wasn't God's will to prosper, then King Solomon was horribly in sin. Because at some point, they just had to pile up the silver because it says it was worth nothing. Can you imagine that? You got all kinds of silver, and then, you know, you got a king that's like, well, I guess, I don't know, just throw it over in the pile with the rest of the silver and the gold, I guess. I mean, no, God wants us blessed. So we can search the scriptures, and we can find out, again, what it is that we're believing for and apply our faith to it, right? If we look at that, also Psalms 91:16. So what we're doing is, I like what Brother Hagin used to say, we're always building a case for ourselves, right? We have to build a case. Anything we're believing for in the scriptures or anything that we're believing for, we have to find out whether it is God's will or not. What did I say? Psalms 91:16. And it says here, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation, right? So we can say that, you know, well, God took somebody here. God took somebody, you know, he took them home and everything. Well, in the scriptures, the only time that God took people home were alive. And that's Enoch, right? And Elijah, those two. So we know that it's God's will for you, I mean, to live a long life, right? So based on those things, you know, we've got things here to accomplish. Just kind of comes to my mind right now. Years ago, the girls, Molly and Kate, were really little. And before that, I had a friend of mine. We went to a church together. And great people. And so they had, he called me one time and he said, they were doing some other things. And they said, hey, I'm thinking about taking this church over. Lord just spoke to me. I need to come talk to you about some different things. I said, okay, come on up. So they came, spent, I don't know, like half the day with us, or, you know, came to our house. We hung out, talked. And so I was saying, hey, if you're going to take this church over, here's some things to think about. You know, I wouldn't do this. I would do this, this, and this, and this. And so now I remember he said, I felt like the Lord told me to come talk to you, all right? All right, so the Lord is leading him to talk to me about some things, all right? So so then I get a call later, and this friend of mine says, well, you know, I talked to the church. They want to interview you. They want to talk to you. So I'm on the phone with the entire board of this church, right? So in the midst of this, I'm talking about this other guy, and so what I'm doing, and then I end up on the phone with them for 2 hours teaching them. Now, this is a church board. I'm teaching them about the spirit realm, right? This is a spirit-filled church. Never heard any of this stuff before. I spent 2 hours walking through over the phone with the church board, teaching them for 2 hours. At the end of that, they asked me to come, you know, take over the church. I said, no, this is my friend. You offered it to him. I don't want anything to do with it. I'm here to give you a testimony of his character. So anyway, we're done. And he's telling me, you know, this friend of mine, he's like, well, I'm praying, you know, I believe this is God's will. I'm praying things out. Okay, great, great, great. So we're talking. He gets there. You know, the church wants him to come be the pastor. Just everything's wonderful. So I just, okay, that's great. I'm happy for him. And then about 3 months later, I get a call. Hey, they just kicked me out of the church. Why? Well, I did this and this and this and this and this. And so I'm biting my tongue and I'm thinking, you did nothing that I suggested, right? You just completely ignored everything I had to say and you did what you wanted to do. Then he says, well, I prayed and I guess God just didn't hear me. No, what happened was, when you prayed, God led you to something to help you, and you didn't listen, right? So what happens is we come back and we say, well, God didn't answer my prayer. No, he's bringing you people often to help you, and you're not listening. And then we chalk it up to God didn't. I mean, it's like the old saying, well, you know, I'm in a boat, I'm drowning, and I'm praying, God, save me. And then somebody came along in a boat, and I said, no, I'm waiting for God to save me. And then a helicopter came by to rescue me. And I said, no, I'm waiting for God to save me. And then I drowned and I get to heaven. And I said, God, how come you didn't help me? And he said, well, I sent a boat and a helicopter ding-a-ling and you didn't take any of them, right? I mean, how stupid can we be, right? What happened was he went in there and he tried to, you know, again, leadership and talking about, he's trying to lead from a positional standpoint and instead of relationship and didn't do anything, but he blamed it on God because things didn't work out. Well, I must have missed it. No, you had the tools, you had people that were there to help you and you wouldn't listen, right? Because the Bible says in the midst of counsel, there is what? Wisdom on some things. So you see how Christians get way off in stupidity and we don't think about things. I've called people before, hey, what do you think about this? Or, you know, when we're praying about things and we have things, and this is something too, where we just can't say, well, I prayed for something, right? I mean, how many people have prayed, God, I need a job, and then they've gone through 6 of them in the last 2 years and they can't get along with anybody, but they need a job. I was like, well, maybe it's not God's not giving you a job. Maybe it's just you just can't get along with people, right? And then we blame God because your people's skills are horrible. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had... And this pastor friend of mine, he's really nice guy, but you ever been to those people, they're Captain Obvious, and you see something happen, but you don't say it, but he's the type of person that would say it, you know, like something would happen, and anyway, very, very naive and one of those kind of people. But see, we're blaming God for things that often we are shooting ourselves in the foot, and then we say, God isn't hearing our prayer, you know? And then what happens is people will say, well, that faith stuff doesn't work. No, it does work. It just isn't working the way that you want it to sometimes, right? Right? Because we want a big check in the mail, God to send us some big check in the mail, or we want, you know, I want to be, you know, executive next week, and it just doesn't happen that way, and God's, well, I'm leading this way, and I'm doing different things, right? There are times where, you know, but anyway, just to go back to this other story, God is, you know, when we pray for things, that's when we ask God for things, and when we're set on a particular goal, He's going to lead us sometimes down some paths, right? You ever had that time, again, when you're sitting there, you just feel like for example, I'm moving over to being led by the Spirit. You ever just like, today I was sitting there and I was thinking about, all of a sudden, a person came to my mind. Okay, what's the purpose of this? Why am I thinking about this person? And all of a sudden, I just started praying for them, right? See, it's not we're overcomplicating things sometimes, and God is really leading us when we do pray, because the Bible says, I mean, it's yes and amen. There's no question whether or not God is going to do it or not. It's just going to be the avenue that He chooses and not you. And He's going to lead you down some paths sometimes, again, to connect with people, to be able to help you, because, you know, anything in this life, it's going to have to take people. We're going to have to connect with people. So anyway, so the first one is we need to decide what we want. Number two, we need to find scripture or something to base that off of what we can get. Does it belong to us? Is it God's will? Now, I've made a big mess of things sometimes, believe it or not. I'm not perfect like all of you, but, you know, I did a business years ago, and it ended up in shambles, and I was, like, praying about things and everything else, too, and you know what happened? We cannot separate the inward witness from prayer. I don't care what anybody says. You can say, I'm going to name it, I'm going to claim it, I'm going to blab it, I'm going to grab it, and this is why so many denominations make fun of us, and they mock us, is because we see people that get off in air. So I remember I was doing a business one time on the inside. I was praying about it. I'm like, Lord, you know, I'm praying that God will bless my plan. And it's not His plan. It's just not. So guess what? I was praying. On the inside, I was sealing a deal one time. And the inside, I just felt just horrible. You know, just down here, it was my spirit, man. The Holy Spirit was leading me. I just had this really sinking feeling, just like I was making a mistake. But I'm like, no, I'm going to pray. I'm going to believe. See, here's the thing. I was overriding the inward witness with what I thought faith was. And it didn't work. Then people will come back and say, well, see, that faith stuff doesn't work. No, I was overriding the inward witness. And that's why it wasn't God's will for me to do that. I'll talk all day long about my mistakes. Why? Because I don't want you to make the same ones. And you know what? Since then, I got burnt. I learned every time I get that little no. That was a $30,000 mistake that I had to eat, right? Paid it off. See, is this helping you understand some things? Because, see, we've got the faith part over here. I was quoting Mark 11, 22 through 20. I had all these scriptures. I knew what God's will. I knew the scriptures. And I understood things. But the inward witness was leading me a different direction, right? Now, is it God's will that I prosper? Yes. But guess what? I need to be led on what's the avenue God wants me to be prospered in. See, I can choose the avenue that I want to do, but He's like, nope. This is what I need for you over here. This is the path over here. And I'm trying to go down this path going, I've seen this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea. And I'm checking my heart and all these other things. And God's like, I'm over here and you're over here in the weeds somewhere, clown. You know, do you understand? See, that's where we're getting off at. We're trying to use faith on something that the Spirit, our Holy Spirit, the inward witness, is telling us no. And we just got to know where to go. What's very important to Mark, Mark chapter 4, it says Jesus was what? Led into the wilderness. He just didn't go, I'm going to go in there and defeat the devil. I'm going to show him who's boss. No, the Holy Spirit led him. And wherever the Holy Spirit leads you, that's where you're going to have faith at. You guys look bored. Or are you just chewing? I do that a lot too. I'll listen to stuff, I just chew, right? Kind of deep stuff, because you know, if you're sitting back thinking you're just gonna say these things, you need to say these prayers, I'm gonna just motor mouth a bunch of junk off because I saw so and so on TV do it. You're in trouble, and that's where we lose it at. That's where people laugh and they say, "Well, you're not, yeah, that name it and claim it and blab it and grab it stuff." No, there's power in our words. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, and you're gonna eat whatever you say, right? So there is power in the tongue. But when we pray, we need to have the inside and say, okay, where am I in this? God, where are you at in all of this? Well, Joshua 1:8, let's read that. This is really good stuff, by the way. And I don't take any of it back. So, I wish I had this understanding about 25 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago when I was 10. There we go. I'm not even trying to fake my age because it got, last week got, or a couple weeks ago got messed up, so I can't fake my, it's over. Cat's out of the bag. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of law shall not depart out of your mouth, but shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in." Here we go. "You shall make your ways prosperous, and you shall have good success." Now, this is a prime example here in Joshua. What happened? The Israelites wanted to do it. What's that old country song? "I did it my way." And they were wanting to do it their way, right? God is just saying, okay, put one foot in front of the other, keep going. All right, we're heading east, keep going. We'll just give you to the promised land. What they do, we need to go back. We need to. They want to do their own thing. What happened? It ended up crashing and burning. And then they took a 40-year vacation in the wilderness, right? The promise was there, but what happened? See, you can say it all day long, but they were not putting action to the plan. Sorry. Their prayers were answered, and God was answering their prayers, but yeah, it didn't quite come. Matthew 7:7. See, the reason why, one of the reasons why, is not just to say, oh, okay, I understand the scripture. Not just only to understand God's will, but let me just say this. Devil's coming. I know that isn't really popular, but guess what? If Jesus was tempted of the devil, you're going to be tempted of the devil, right? If he's going to come after Jesus and do things, you are. And guess what? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. The reason why we have the word is not only to understand God's will for it and build our faith, like Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But another one is we need to fend off the devil, because guess what? Your mind is going to get attacked, believe it or not. Anybody ever had their mind attacked? Right? You're thinking about stuff. What was the whole thing with the Garden of Eden? With God was sitting there. What did he say? He said, "This is all yours. I need to tend the garden." And what? Subdue it. What was he saying? Snake coming. Right? Snake coming. What is he saying? My words, my commandment I just gave you, you need to put them in your heart, because you're going to be tested and you need to defend yourself. Ephesians 6:11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil," right? What's the armor of God? We'll find out here. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Your mind is going to come under attack. Your body may come under attack with sickness or symptoms, right? Verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to, where we go, withstand in the... It didn't say may, it says the evil day. Guess what? The evil day will come, right? When is that evil day? You lose family members. Because you live long enough, you're going to lose family members. It's just a matter of time. Right? How many of you ever had lack before? You have bills and you didn't have money for it. Right? Adrian and I, one time, I had a job and it was going really well and I started making really good money and all of a sudden I was like, we don't need you anymore. Thanks, bye. It was an evil day. I'm not preaching gloom and doom, but I'm just saying they will come. See, all the wacko faith people that are not in reality. Oh, I'm just going to use my faith. I'm just going to do this and I'm just going to do that. One time, I was in Damata, and one of the ministers there had done extensive missions in about 6 or 7 years in Ukraine. And, I know a lot about Ukraine after that. Interesting place. Needs Jesus. But one of the students in the class said, I am, and this is Pastor Billy was his name, and he was, one of the students says, I am seated in heavenly places, and I'm not here on earth. And Pastor Billy went over and grabbed his chest right there and just pinched and twisted, and he goes, how would you do that? And he goes, because I want to bring it back. See, we're in this realm, right? You know, the thing is, our mind and our spirit man often, our mind, let me just say this, our mind is always deciphering between our spirit man and the natural realm, right? So you've got this struggle going on all the time. I'm way off track, but that's okay. But your mind is always consistently trying to, it's got data input from the natural realm and the spirit realm all the time. So your spirit man, if you're born again, obviously that's where the Holy Spirit connects with our spirit in Romans. But our mind is always trying to decipher between the two. And guess what? The devil likes to help with the decision making, doesn't he? Because he understands that's our focal point where we're going to make decisions. Because again, if our spirit man is not built on the word, we're not, you know, doing a Jude 20, they're building ourselves in the most holy faith. Our natural man is going to be screaming louder than our spirit man sometimes, right? And our mind is often going to gravitate to whichever one screams the loudest. That's why I always like to say it's good to know the word and understand the word and being in faith, because, for example, you ever been in a hospital with people that are on their deathbed? You know, their physical body is screaming so loud, often their mind can't hear their spirit realm. They can't hear the spirit. So what happens is I come in there and I help try to help them with that. See, if you haven't put the word in you at that time, when you're on your deathbed, your mind is just going to go to the natural. And it's not a gloom and doom thing. It just means that your mind often will go to whichever one's screaming loudest or whichever one you're more settled on. So your mind is the in between the two. And this is something right here, Ephesians chapter 6, that the Apostle Paul is talking about. And there are other places too, but this is just one place. There's a battle going on. Let's go back to 13. It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Now again, the evil day, there will be evil days come across your path. But we don't have to let it ruin us. Right? I mean, we don't have to let it go. It just means that those days come and those situations come. We're ready because we're built up. We're ready for it. And then in verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins about with truth, and having on the what? The breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Gospel is good news, right? And above all, here we go, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and the helmet of salvation, and the what? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. How do you combat the enemy, those fiery darts that are coming your way, right? Your prayer is never going to be answered. It's never going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. This is never going to happen, right? We have to use the word to combat those things. Because let me just say this, to be successful in the faith to walk with God, there is no neutral. There's no neutral ground. There's no Switzerland in the kingdom. I'm just telling you right now, there's no safe place where you can just check out, is there? You got to be active. Jesus didn't lay down and say, oh, devil, let's just play nice. Because the devil doesn't play nice. You got to go after him you got to go after the devil. You got to have I have an absolute hatred towards the devil. And that's okay, because he and I have one thing in common. We hate each other. And that's okay, because I don't hate people, but I hate the devil, and I hate demonic forces. I hate sin, just like God hates sin, right? You got to get to the point where you hate the devil so bad that I will sit there sometimes, I remember Brother Hagin saying things like, the devil came and was talking to him, and he was just laughing. The devil said, what are you laughing at? He goes, I'm laughing at you, because you are defeated. And the amazing thing is, you'll have things like the devil, the enemy will come, and he'll start saying things to me. And once I start talking about where he's going, you know, by the way, devil, I want to remind you, because he's the accuser of the brethren, right? So when he tries to accuse you of your past or mistakes or anything like that, what I love to do is say, you know what, devil, I can't wait until you're in the lake of fire. Did you know that? Let me read you the scriptures where you're going to burn for eternity. You're going to be liquid lava. I am so excited to see you there, and I'm going to be there and watch you being thrown into the pit. I can't wait. And you know what? All of a sudden, he's gone, right? Because when he reminds me of my past, I like to remind him of his future, because he's defeated. And that's how we battle the devil, is we take him on. We can say, nope, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. If God be for me, who can be against me? See, the word in us, when we're praying for things, that's when the devil likes to come along. It's not working. It's not working. No, it already worked 2,000 years ago, because by his stripes, I was healed. Isaiah says, am healed. And in 1 Peter, it says, past tense. So we battle the enemy with the word. So when we use the word, we need to find out, number one, what are the promises God has for us? Whether we have that. And then also, too, the devil will come and try to tempt us and get us to thinking off or to let go of those things. See, the devil is there to try to get us to be tossed to and fro, right? That's part of his job, is to get you to toss to and fro. If he can get you to waver on something, he's got you beat. He's got you beat. Now, if you waver, just repent, get back on board. It's okay. Don't beat yourself up. Oh, it's all totally ruined. No, the devil wants you to think that it's all ruined if you miss the mark. But the word is also to fight the devil. The sword of the Spirit is the word going forth. What is our, because everything you see in this armor of God is defensive. The only offensive weapon we have is the sword. What's the sword of the Spirit? The word. It's the word. We use it against the enemy. Don't sit down and oh, I'm going to be depressed. I'm going to be this. Nothing's ever going to happen. Stand up. Read the word. But beloved, wish above all things you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I don't know how it's going to do it, and God's going to reveal it to me, but my needs are going to be met. I've had people before where God is like, oh, they're never going to get saved, they're never going to get born again. I mean, the relatives, and I'm thinking, oh, dear Lord, I don't know. I'm just, do something. And you know what? They got born again, they got saved. I did their funeral. It was. I don't want to say a wonderful funeral, because funerals aren't wonderful, but it was a celebratory, because he was born again. He was saved, right? God can do miracles, and sometimes it's not going to be in our time frame, right? I was just talking with somebody yesterday. They were just a person I know. Him and his wife were, they have a little girl, and he says, you know, we're just trying for another one. I just hope it was, he was just getting upset. And I'm like, hey, I've been there, right? 13 years, and Adrian and I, nothing. And then, God's faithful, right? People prophesied, Chris D'Amico, double for your trouble. And we got double trouble, all right? We got double. And then another one. And so the point is, God's faithful, but it wasn't in my timing. Do you understand? See, we were pit bull on the word and say, okay, it didn't happen the way that I thought, and it doesn't really matter, because guess what the end result is? The end result is the end result. So what am I going to sit here and, well, this didn't happen exactly the way I think, and everything. But you know what? God opened up doors supernaturally, and it was just some incredible things happened. But it all comes down to God's going to do things. He answer your prayer as long as it's His will, and it's something that you're being led by the Spirit. He's going to answer it. That's not the problem. It's if we're going to clamp onto it. Weaned off of his fiery attacks, and it may not happen the way that we want it to happen, but God's faithful. He's always faithful. And I've seen when things that I thought I prayed for that didn't happen, I found out, number one, they weren't even God's will to begin with, because I was immature, right? Or I let the enemy in and do things that I shouldn't have done. You got to realize, guys, it's like having a radio out there. If we turn a radio on and we're not getting reception, I'm not going to call the radio station up. Hey, you guys want to shake your antenna? And then I'm going to call WHO up and say, hey, guys, I'm on 1040. I know what's going on here. They're going to say, what about your reception? We got all these gazillion watts going out here. It's not us. We're doing fine, right? And that's the same with us. God is perfect. It's not on that end. It's over here on this end. We need to figure out, okay, what am I doing to missing? I just had a person we were talking just recently. I've known for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. And this subject came up. Are you bored? We probably get for supper time here soon. All right, hold on a minute. But one more story, a few more stories. And recently he was upset about different things and just getting really just, why is God doing this? And why is God doing this? And why is God doing this? And how come God's never answered my prayers and never done this? And it's sad because, I love this person, but they're just self-destructive. It's not that God doesn't want to, but then I hear this. There's bitterness there. And that will wreck you every time. Getting mad because other people are blessed and they're not blessed. And my life is ruined. You know what? Your life is not ruined if you still got breath in your lungs. I mean, Smith Wigglesworth didn't start preaching until, when he was later in life. We're seeing people that are, doing things. But see, that's a way that the enemy is going to rob you, is getting into offense, getting mad, get upset with people, because you're not seeing the results that you think you should. And they're mad. Well, I was, God called me to ministry and to do this. What are you waiting for? Get back on track. Mark 11. I'll close here. Maybe. Maybe. If you're lucky. I'm in Africa, man. I tell you, I'd say, oh, I'm done here. And then, no! They just get mad if I quit, So. Get upset. Mark 11:22. And it says, and Jesus answered, said unto them, have faith in God. Or they, I love the King James here, have the faith of God. How'd you like to have that? Have the faith of God. Be on his level, right? Have the faith of God. Then it says, for truly I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. Now that mountain is going to be whatever obstacle it is in your life, right? Right? And then verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it. And here we go. And you may receive them. No, you shall have them, right? Here we go. We're coming to some good stuff. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have any ought against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Guess what? This person is dealing with unforgiveness, right? You notice he said things. He said two things that were really key. This person. None of my prayers are getting answered. And then later, he's mad and jealous and upset about everybody else. And he's angry. Again, it's good to know the scripture because you can sit back and say, oh, yeah, I missed it. How do I correct it? See how we, again, I mean, part of it, I believe, I blame ministers too because we're not, you know, a lot of these, and again, there's great faith. I'm not disparaging people because I absolutely love Charles Capps. I absolutely love Kenneth Hagin. I absolutely love, a lot of these people. They're genuine. They're really good. But we're missing it because we're trying to believe often. Number one, I think, and again, I don't even feel like I've really scratched the surface. But one thing is we're believing for things that we may not even, God's not even leading us to do. Right? And I'm talking about God's will for our life. I'm not saying, you know, if you're praying for healing, that's yours. We don't have to ask God if it's his will or not. We're talking about things that are his will. You need to have the inward witness on these things, right? We need to get connected with God and put our faith to some things. We got to know the word because we know his will, and we've got to defend ourselves from the enemy and those thoughts that are going to come our way. We cannot be tossed to and fro. And that's not just individual, but I believe that's households as well. We're not seeing things because, again, a house divided will what? Fall, we just read in Luke. See, there's so many things that can impact it, but then we sit back and say, well, see, God's not answering prayer. I don't know why things aren't happening the way they should be. Well, these are just some starter things to think about and to examine ourselves and say, all right, what is it that we're believing for? What is it some things that we want? Because there is, for example, I always, you know, when we'll talk about praying, so, well, you know, pray for me, Pastor. Okay, about what? Right? I've had people that come up to me in the past, well, you know, can you pray for me? About what? I was in churches years ago, and they'd say, any special unspoken requests? And I'm thinking to myself, completely unbiblical. Because the Bible says, make your request known unto God. Right? If I believe for nothing, I will receive nothing. I'm not making fun of people. I was in those churches for years when I was younger. I get it. And again, I'm not picking on people, but what I am saying is I want to come up another level, right? I don't want to just stay somewhere because denomination tells me to do it. A movement says I have to do this. This is what so-and-so says. I need to find biblical examples. I need to find it. I need to have a witness on the inside. Because your mind is going to go, again, whichever one is stronger. If you're natural, you're more focused on the natural side, guess what? You're going to think about those things. And again, whatever issues of the heart, they're going to come out. Whatever the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you're meditating on the Word and you're connected with the Holy Spirit, then your mind is going to be focused on. I remember it. might, and maybe remember him, Gary Crowell, Dean of Raymond, he made a great statement. He says, when trouble comes, and the first thing that, if you don't think about the word first, you're carnal. And that hurt. That hurt. Hey, all fingers right here, right? Sometimes I'm like, oh, I could do this, I could do this, I could do this, you know. Gosh, I had back taxes on property, and I spent like, what, and some other bills. It was like $3,500 this weekend. I'm like, ow. You know, your natural mind, you know, like, okay. That's just so fun, isn't it? You know, paying taxes and other bills and junk that came up. And I'm like, we spent that much money this weekend? Oh, my gosh, on nothing? You know, my God will supply my needs. Amen? You know, and my mind just goes, oh, gosh, I could do, you know, so much with that money. We could do this, we could do this, or, you know, whatever. But I have to come back and say, okay, my God is my source, not job, right? Not this, not that. So when pressure comes, what's going to come out of our mouth? What are we going to believe for? What are we going to use to come against the devil with? Because, again, it's not if, but it's when the devil comes along knocking on your door. Hello? What's that commercial credit union where they got all the guys, they all have Bill on their shirts, you know? When all the bills show up, right? Yeah. Hey, we need you to model for an advertisement we got going on, right? Yeah, it's not something I want to do. But anyway, God, we just thank you so much, Lord, that my prayer tonight is just for everyone. First of all, we get a revelation of, Lord, what you want us to do, Lord. And as we pray, we'll check on the inside if it's something that is not guaranteed in the Word, Lord, for the will for our life moving forward, God, that we would just check the inside. And also, too, as our household, we would all come together moving forward in agreement on you, the things that we need to believe for corporately together as a family, Lord. And God, I thank you that we're going to recognize the enemy when he shows up, that we're going to use the word, we're going to stand on your word, Lord God, and we know your will, Lord, and your thoughts towards us, which are peace and an expected end, Lord God, hope and an end, Lord. We thank you tonight in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you reveal some things to us moving forward. God, that we look at faith and prayer in a different light moving forward. And we thank you in your name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, have a great week, everybody.